welcome back inside the cave. Pat Hayes, Jeff Bowman with you this morning. And as promised, we have John Borton from the Wolverine magazine on the other end of our line this morning. Good morning, John. Quite a game this last Saturday. Michigan, their second Big Ten championship in 2 years. And to me, the game kind of went as planned. Close game in the first half. Michigan came out, made the adjustments, and rolled away with it.
We've sort of gotten used to that script, haven't we, Pat?
We sure have.
People ask me all week leading up to the game, how's this going to go? And I said, well, take a look at the last 10 weeks or so, and you'll probably get a pretty good picture of how it might go. I mean, Michigan is in that feeling out process in the first half and gives you some anxious moments, and you know, and then it's you think it's going to be a cliffhanger. It's 14-13 at the half, and then Michigan tends to turn that cliffhanger into pushing the opponent over the cliff in the second half by exerting its will, and that's exactly what the Wolverines did. Two touchdowns in the first 5 minutes of the second half, and a very strong performance, although, you know, J.J. McCarthy doesn't have to throw 30 times to produce three touchdowns, which he did on 11 completions. And Donovan Edwards in that offensive line again steps up to show that it can still get some things done, even without a guy that should have been in New York for the Heisman Trophy, one Blake Corum. Michigan's defense, the kid at cornerback, Will Johnson, the freshman, with the two interceptions, a really good moment for him. Yeah, I think it went kind of like what I expected, but it still causes Michigan fans that dyspepsia at halftime, because it's like, oh, buddy, is this the one where they're not going to get it done?
Yeah, certainly the coaching staff has to be lauded for, you know, the adjustments they do make at halftime. And it just, they come out an entirely different team in the second half when it's a close one.
Yeah, and I think there's been some good points made about that throughout the season by the coaches. And if you're playing somebody that isn't at your talent level, and I would say Michigan has faced that situation every game this year except for Penn State would be close, and Ohio State would be equal to, if not greater, in terms of the five stars and things like that. These other teams are going to throw things at you that you have not seen, and they're going to try to scheme their way to catching you off guard, off balance, and making you adjust. And that's what Michigan has had to do time after time. Okay, they're seeing some different things that teams haven't put on film at all. And, okay, now what do we do with it? And sometimes it just takes a while. And they've reacted to that, and they've adjusted, and they've come out in that second half. And, A, they're better prepared to counter what the other team is doing to them, but also that physicality with which they play really starts to take its toll on both sides of the ball.
Hey, John, Jeff with you. You know, what you were saying is so true. And then on the flip side of that, it seems like Michigan has been able to do some of those same type of things, and the other teams can't adjust to them. You know, example, what they did at Ohio State with throwing the ball and defensively doing some different schemes. It seems like they've been able to scheme, and the other coaches have not been able to make the adjustments like Michigan has against the new things that the teams have thrown at them.
Well, there's no doubt, and Ohio State is one of those games where Michigan schemes, like I was saying, other teams do. Normally, Michigan doesn't have to hide a lot of things and save a lot of things for, say, Iowa, or say, you know, just most of the teams that they play in a year like this. But with Ohio State, it's okay, yeah, we are going to put some things on film and then work off of those things, show it, and the team, the defense, plays it in the way they think of what's going to come, and Michigan counters that and does something that it's been working on to save, and certainly in the Ohio State game, there was that that fatigue factor on Ohio State's part, and you saw heads start to drop, shoulders start to slump, and the big plays were just a killer. They certainly brought in a brand new defensive coordinator, designed specifically to do what? To stop Michigan.
Didn't work, did it? The
guy that, you know, the year before, and they didn't. He didn't. It was a gambling, overcommitted defense that Michigan turned into to huge plays over and over. And so, yeah, you're right. There's Michigan certainly is in the business of, okay, we're going to show some other things in the biggest moments to help us get over the top.
Well, John, the Final Four for the championship is all together now, and Michigan will be playing TCU in the semifinal. Any word on or game plan against TCU?
Well, I think TCU is a team that has a tough-as-nails quarterback, Mac Dugan. You saw that in the game that they last played, despite the fact that it was a loss. I think that quarterback almost single-handedly kept TCU number three despite a loss because of the way he rallied them. And that's a team that can score some points on offense, can be a big challenge for Michigan's defense. But it's a defense that has been vulnerable throughout the year. And I think, I mean, they've maintained and they've had to put together a very good record, but they've really had to pull out some close ones. I think Michigan is going to, with its offense, wear down TCU once again. And I just see this as edge Wolverines, although, you know, don't discount any of the top four teams, including Ohio State. But I will say, as far as the ordering goes, I'm glad that the committee left it like it was, to keep TCU where they were, keep Ohio State where it was, as opposed to rewarding a team that was just sitting on its duff and watching others battle it out.
What do you think of an all Big Ten final?
Well, I don't think it's going to happen, but if it did, I just think it would be one of the most hyped championship games, or one of the most hyped college football games in history. These two teams draw so much attention anyway, Ohio State and Michigan, and the rivalry there and the emotions there. I think it would be explosive. The reason I say I don't think it's going to happen is I think that Georgia is still very, very good and probably will win that game. But if it does not, then you've got yourself a rematch of momentous proportions, and it would be incredibly fun to see. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced that Ohio State deserves that rematch after getting beat in its own stadium by three touchdowns. But if it happened, then at that point, boy, you embrace it. And to have a 2-0 year against Ohio State and a national championship to boot, it doesn't get much better than that.
That's for darn sure.
No, and as you said, I'm glad they didn't, really punish TCU as much. I think that, you know, if you're playing in a championship game, you got that extra game. I think it's terrible to punish that extra game compared to somebody that's sitting on their couch waiting.
Exactly.
You know, when you look at the USC's and that, when you have more than one loss, then there's a question because you've lost already during the year. But if that's your only loss and it's in a championship game on a neutral site, and actually a game they probably should have won, I think the coach blew that a little bit on some of their play calling late. To not really punish them as much, I think that was the best move that they've done with the college football playoffs, as far as, okay, we're going to put this other team in. It only has one loss, but I'm not going to really punish the team that lost for that extra game.
Completely agree with that. I think that was a really good decision. I know a lot of people were worried that, okay, they're going to jump them now with Ohio State, set up this this repeat in the playoff right away, and I just I didn't think that that would be the right way to go. And I you know, hats off to the committee for doing what it did.
That and not putting Alabama in there when they had Saban on at halftime in the Michigan game, grandstanding and complaining about, well, you know, we were hurt in the middle of the year. Well, who cares? I mean, you know, there's a lot of teams that are hurt and lose games. I mean, you hear that all the time about, well, we can't make excuses because we were hurt. But yet on national TV, he's making an excuse because they were hurt. And I would just like, no, just
exactly.
Get him
well,
off of there.
Well, Michigan would love to have Blake Corum right now. And I would have loved to have him in Columbus.
Right.
And, and down the stretch against Illinois. That just, hey, keep playing. And don't get on the air and say, well, we belong because, hey, we're Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Stop it.
Yeah, stop it.
Like, come on, get him off of there.
All right, let's talk a little bit about off the field. Mazi Smith pulled over, concealed weapon. Anything new in that area, John?
Well, the newest thing is that they gave out a little more detail. He was carrying more ammo with him than some would like to see, and he was going faster than you probably should be if you are doing that and you haven't finished the process of getting your license to carry in a vehicle. And so I think there are definitely some lessons to be learned out of this for Mazi Smith. I think this is going to be something that he will absorb and go forward with a greater knowledge and perspective. You know, obey the speed limits. Make sure that you're squared away with that process before you actually have that in your possession. But this is a kid that has hurt no one, who has threatened no one, who has, according to everything we hear, we're completely cooperative with the officers on the scene. And Ward Manuel, the athletic director, said he was completely open and when I talked to him. So I think, yeah, there are definitely things that Mazi Smith did wrong here, and you hope somebody at his age just, okay, I get it, and this you move forward in a more informed, responsible manner.
Yeah, and I think on that, you know, as more comes out, it is surprising that there at least was not any type of suspension to just say, okay, this is something you shouldn't be doing, especially as a captain, and this is, against what we believe in here, and to at least not have any, I think is a little surprising that, you know, the more you hear about it, that you don't think, well, at least a game or a half, or I mean, it just doesn't seem like there was any type of, you know, unless there's non-transparency on this, but there was any type of punishment whatsoever on his side, which is a little surprising.
Yeah, and I think some people are going to hit that pretty hard, and, you know, they may feel like they have a pretty good argument. But the fact of the matter was the charges weren't made until very late. And just before the Ohio State game, I believe.
Right.
And, you know, the folks that want to compare this to the Michigan State situation, the tunnel situation, there's not a comparison. There's simply not a comparison.
No, right. Agreed.
There were no victims. There was no assault. And so in terms of that, I don't even go there as far as I'm concerned.
Moving along here with the time we have remaining, John, Michigan basketball lost a close one to Kentucky, 73-69 in their last outing. But in between that time, they lost Jalen Llewellyn, and he is going to be out probably for the rest of the year.
Yes, he is, and that's a real blow to Michigan. Jalen Llewellyn was in that process of getting used to his new teammates and his role and all, and at the thinnest position already for Michigan basketball. I mean, you're looking at a situation where it was, okay, you're not really deep here, and you're going to be relying on a freshman in Doug McDaniel coming in to be the guy that is Jalen Llewellyn's break giver, you know, filling in at times. And now all of a sudden, Doug McDaniel's your starting point guard. And with maybe moving Kobe Bufkin into that role to handle the ball a little bit as well. So it's a tenuous situation for Michigan. They were caught, I think, a little bit short at guard anyway, and this just exacerbates that whole process. So even though Michigan's lost a couple games recently against very good competition, they've showed some improvement, hung in there. But now it's going to be a real test to see you're going on the road in the Big Ten, and all of a sudden it's a different dynamic for this team.
Yeah, they open up tonight against Minnesota on the road, 9 o'clock start. And as far as Minnesota is concerned, Michigan should take care of business?
I wouldn't say that that's a guarantee whatsoever. I mean, going into their building is always very tough, and all of a sudden, I mean, this impacts it. You're going in with a brand new point guard who has played some already this year, but hasn't been the guy that has been out there at the start and leading this team. So I think this is this could be a real confidence builder if they're somehow able to pull off that road win. I mean, look at what's happened in the Big Ten early. Michigan State losing to Northwestern, and just other teams that have lost early on. I think this is a real challenge for Michigan tonight.
John, we are out of time, but we want to remind folks how they can get a copy of the Wolverine magazine.
Brand new Wolverine coming out in a week and a half or so, and you can get it by calling 800-421-7751. They can hook you up with the monthly subscription. And if you want the details on the Wolverines every single day, you can go to the on3.com site and check out the Wolverine.
All right, John, thank you very much for talking with us today. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Pat.
John Borton from the Wolverine Magazine here on Inside the Cave. Don't go away. We'll be back with our final segment this morning.